Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 through 11. I want to preach on this subject, memories, finding Christ in your circumstances. Memories, finding Christ in your circumstances. I wanted to let you out early today because you did so good coming to church on a holiday weekend, but that means for sure I'll probably go long that I said that. So stand to your feet and let's read these verses. Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 through 11. Paul says, it's very fitting that we talk about remembering today. Today is, we come to the next part of Philippians chapter 1 where Paul remembers on this Memorial Day weekend when we're supposed to remember those who've gone before us and have memories, Paul finds himself chained to a jail cell, to a Roman soldier in prison, and he remembers. I find that very fitting how the Lord aligned these verses for today. And the Bible says that Paul, though in a jail cell, writes to the Philippian church and says, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you. Always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to feel this way about you all, because I hold you in my heart, for you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. He says, for God is my witness, how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and to the praise of God. Let's pray one more time. Father, Lord, would you take these moments? Would you make them your own? Lord, would you speak to our hearts? Lord, on this holiday weekend, we may be coming not expecting you to show up. We may be coming filled with our schedules and our mind, our hearts weighed down, full of anxiety, full of emotion, full of excitement, full of fear. Lord, I don't know the issues every person here today is facing, but you do. And so, Lord, I pray that that song that we just sung, It Is Well With Our Soul, would be far more than just words on a screen, but it would be a way of life for us. It would be a mindset, how we go through our daily challenges and circumstances. Move today in these moments, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Memories, finding Christ in your circumstances. I think it's very fitting. We talk about memories. You know, they say memory is the first thing to go when we get older, right? These three ladies, they were three widows, three sisters, and they were all living together. And the oldest one and then would begin to forget things sometimes. And she would walk up the stairs and she would get halfway up those staircases. And she would kind of look down at her youngest sister and say, why am I going upstairs again? And she would say, because you're going to go to bed. And so she'd go back upstairs, go to bed. And then the middle sister would come in and she'd come in the kitchen and she would say, do you know why I came in here? She said, yeah, you're going to fix yourself a sandwich. And so she sat down being the youngest and goes, I tell you what, I'm so glad that I'm not losing my memory. And she knocks on that wood and then she gets up and goes to the door, finds out nobody's there. We lose our memory sometimes. We think that we're not going to, but sometimes we do. Sometimes our wives say we have selective memory as husbands. I still don't know what they're talking about. We have to understand the lives that have been lost for us to get to this point. From 1775 and the birth of our nation and the Revolutionary War to the point of the Gulf War, 1991, 1992, 2.7 million lives have been lost from the nation of America. 2.7 million lives. Now, those numbers vary. Sometimes they say 2.7, sometimes 2.8. I can't really pinpoint for you the exact number. I think only God knows that one. But historians have said from the beginning of the Revolutionary War to the Gulf War, about 2.7 million American lives have been fought and lost for our freedom, for us to enjoy this weekend that we have in 2013. Dr. John Piper said this, and I want you to write this down if you have a pen, because I want you to understand why we are here today and why we remember those who have gone before us. He says, regarding Memorial Day weekend, as a pastor, he says this, if we use freedom for the truth and live to make it plain, then all the soldiers who have died will not have died in vain. Let me say it again. If we use freedom for the truth and live to make it plain, then all the soldiers who have died will not have died in vain. And we have this nation, and we have to understand the truth that goes with it, and to whom much is given, much is required. And I think Paul here, you have to understand, remember that he had planted the Philippian church, and about 10 years had gone by. 10 years since the Apostle Paul planted the church known at Philippi. And last Sunday, we talked about the beginning, the intro to Philippians, and how Paul in Acts chapter 16, if you weren't here last Sunday, write down Acts 16. That's the story of the birth of the Philippian church. When Paul said, I want to go this way, and God said, no, you're going to go that way. And then all of a sudden, God shifted their entire mindset, and a church was planted. And here now, Paul finds himself in a Roman jail cell. He's going to be here for about 2 years. You think the job you work at is prison. Paul was in prison for 2 years in a Roman jail cell. And he has the mindset, the thankfulness to not look at his own circumstances. And I want us to really think about that this morning is, how do we find Christ in our circumstances? How do we see above where we're at? We can get so weighed down. We can get so bogged down and feeling sorry for ourselves. And sometimes we miss what Christ wants to do in our circumstances. And I think it's here noting that Paul says three things. He shows us how you and I, no matter what we're going through, can find Christ in the middle of our circumstances. Number one, Paul said, look at the past with a thankful heart. Look at the past with a thankful heart. Look what he says here in verses 3. He says, I thank my God and all my remembrance of you. Always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Now, you got to understand, when I read the words you all, it's hard for me to say that word, okay? So when, as a Southern boy, I'm wanting to say y'all. So I just want you to know, I'm reading the Bible for what it says, but if I'm trying to find a way in the Greek New Testament, it can make it sound like y'all, okay? I'm striving. So I'm just going to say y'all. But I like the fact that Paul set us up for the contraction y'all, okay? So I know some of y'all English people are going to probably email me and say that's not correct, and I understand that, but you can repent later. But it really is the word y'all, okay? So here he says, look at the past with a thankful heart. 10 years had gone by. Paul loved this church so much so that he's in prison. And you know, I'm not going to go into it too much, but if you look at history books and Christian history, you understand what a Roman jail cell was like. There was no air conditioning. There was no flat screen television. There was no 3 meals a day. There was no bathroom. So you can imagine what Paul had to do, him and Silas, in this jail cell and some of these moments. And you got to understand what he had to do. He had to go to the bathroom and stay in it. There was no getting out. Not to be too gross this morning, I want you to truly understand what this man went through and how he could write this kind of letter in those circumstances. People talk about a cruise ship and how awful it is to get stranded on a cruise. And I know that's got to be crazy weird and frustrating to be on a cruise ship, you know, and the power go out. But we look at all the complaints from people all around the world about a cruise ship. But here, Paul's in a little jail cell, and he's got nothing, and he's walking around in it. And yet he says here, I thank my God, and when I think about you. And if you go back to Acts 16, Paul didn't have the greatest time starting the church at Philippi. He wasn't really going around to all the conferences talking about, hey, look at this church plant. I mean, Paul was beaten. If you look at Acts 16:23, just go there real quick. I know it's not on the screen, but just go to your left real quick. I want you to see the conditions this man is in. He says that the crowds attacked him. You remember that Paul was able to minister to a wealthy woman from Asia. Her name was Lydia.
He was able to minister to a poor woman from Greece. She was that fortune teller who got saved. He was also able to witness to a middle-class man from Rome who was the jailer. But look what happened to Paul. It says that the crowd started attacking him, and the magistrates tore the garments off and gave orders to beat them with rods. And when they had inflicted many blows upon them, they threw him into prison and ordered the jailer to keep them safe. I mean, that's this man's background. Paul's not writing this letter from some cruise ship. He's not sitting at the Westin. He's not sitting at the Hilton. He's in a prison cell. And the Bible says, he says, look at the past with a thankful heart. No matter what situation you find yourself in today, you can find Christ in your circumstance. You can find joy somehow, somewhere in what you're in. 19 times in this book, 19 times the word rejoice, glad heart, joy is found in this epistle. And it all comes from a man of God sitting in a jail cell, remembering a church that God used him to plant. And here he says, look at the past with a thankful heart. He says it twice, the word all. In all my remembrance, for all of you. Paul was thankful, he was mindful, and he was joyful. He says, I was thankful. I thank my God. Do you have a thankful heart this morning as a Christian? When you look at the past and what's happened in your life, are you thankful for what Jesus has done in your life? If you're a Christian right now, you should have said amen. Are you looking back thankful for what Jesus has done in your life? Amen. Yes, he has saved you. Remember, he never said it would be easy. He said he'll be in the boat with you and he'll get you to the other side. Paul said it very clearly this way to Timothy, all those who desire to live godly will suffer persecution. It will happen. And we've got to understand that. Look at the past with a thankful heart. 10 years have gone by, but yet a jailer was saved. Paul could have got all discouraged, all down, all depressed. Look at here I am. Look what I'm doing for Jesus. I'm in a jail cell. Look at me. He didn't do that. What happened? He saw Christ in his circumstances and said, how can I make much of Jesus where I'm at, in the situation that where I'm at? And he led that jailer to Christ, and then his whole family got saved, and a church was born. See, do you see everything half empty or half full? Do you see everything from God's perspective or your perspective? It's so easy to get down. It's so easy to get discouraged. It's so easy to have a pity party for yourself, but we can't do that. You got to keep your eyes on your faith and your focus on Christ and what he's wanting to do in your life. And you do that by looking at the past with a thankful heart. He says in verse 5, because of your partnership. It's that word fellowship. When we think of fellowship, maybe you don't, but I do. Maybe it's the way I grew up. I think of food. It's like the three F's. Food, fun, fellowship. Anybody ever seen those words in a church bulletin? Shake your head. You know you've seen them, right? It's okay. First step's admission. We see that in the bulletin. Food, fun, fellowship. And we think of fellowship as always about food, but it really isn't. That's not really the main word in the Bible. We should repent because all we do is like eat all the time. We know it's really about having things in common, to have something in common. Paul said, you're partners with me. Over 10 years, and the Philippian church was still partnering with the Apostle Paul. I thought about that this weekend. Man, this journey of living hope began in 2006 and 2007, and things began to work. And it's amazing that for me personally, it's been over 6 years. And I remember sitting in my office in Memphis, and I went to Office Max, and I had these little bitty folders put together at this Office Max on Poplar Avenue and Germantown Parkway, and they would put these. I went and had little business cards made, and it actually said the word lead pastor on there, and I kind of flipped out like I'm responsible for all this. You know, it's weird, and we got these little cards and we laminated them. I sat there in my office in Memphis and I put all these notes together and these prospectuses together, and talking about a church that had not yet started, and going to all these pastors and all these churches and talking about a church called Living Hope. And I remember some of those lunch meetings I had and some of those times when before I was standing at church and talk about a church called Living Hope and how they would give
and how they would serve and how they would partner with us. And I remember the incredible feeling those days when, even though nothing was going on here in Ohio, God's activity was already happening in a faraway place. And all these churches began to partner, and then people moved and came. And some of you know those stories, and it's incredible how it all happened. But it's about partnership. He says, because of your partnership in the gospel, and now that God has done this, I see this verse in a completely different context now. I think about the partnership from so many churches and so many people who around the country, you'll never meet them, but they have held our arms up and been behind us in so many ways. Paul says here, I think of you. I'm thankful for your partnership with me in the gospel from the first day until now. He says, look at the past with a thankful heart. Write this down because I want you to know this. I'm going to keep telling you this thing over and over and over to where you're going to know it by heart. If we grumble more than we're grateful, we will be discontent. If we grumble more than we're grateful, we will be discontent. But if we are grateful more than we grumble, if we're more grateful than we grumble, we're content. And that's the theme of the book of Philippians, is joy and the contented life. Winston Churchill said this, criticism is easy, but achievement is difficult. Criticism is easy, but achievement is difficult. That's what Churchill said. Look at the past with a thankful heart. Number two, look at the present with a hopeful heart. Look at your situation right now. Look at the present with a hopeful heart. Look what the Bible says in verse 6. Paul said, and I'm sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. He said, it's right for me to feel this way about y'all because I hold you in my heart. I got to say it. For you are all, y'all are partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. Paul went from being a man who was very self-confident. He was very self-confident. His resume was stacked. And he says it was all for nothing. Everything is rubbish for knowing Jesus Christ. He goes from being a very self-confident man to a very God-confident man. Can I ask you today, are you a very self-confident person or are you a God-confident person? Are you always looking out for your own abilities and your own talents and your own strength and your own wisdom? Or are you looking for the Lord to surround you with people who can speak wisdom into your life? The Holy Spirit, most importantly, can lead you and guide you and direct you. Are you a self-confident person or a God-confident person today? God works through several avenues in our life. First of all, His Word. He works through His Word. Hebrews 4:12, for the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of the soul and the spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. God works in your life and your present situation through His Word. I don't know what you're going through today, but have you consulted the Lord about your situation? Have you not just looked to Facebook, but have you gotten in His book for your answers? Have you sought Him out for counsel from His Word? Many soldiers would tell you some of the darkest days and the darkest nights in the foxhole, oftentimes in different places around the world they find themselves in, there's a copy of this somehow, somewhere in their satchel by their side, and how it has comforted them. Some of you, you have cried yourself to sleep going through your circumstance, and the only thing that's comforted you is the Word of God. Does it not comfort you as a Christian? When the Word of God surrounds you and you're in this book and this book gets in you, it comforts you. It gives you that peace that passes all understanding. But not just His Word, but His events. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 3. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And maybe the situation you're going through right now, God has allowed to teach you, to test and to show and to prove of your faith. Oftentimes, his word, his events, but also his people. 2 Corinthians 7:6. Paul said, "But God, who comforts the downcast, comforted us by the coming of Titus." In your mind right now, think about that person in your life that God uses oftentimes to comfort you. Who is that person? Who is that man? Who is that woman whom God uses oftentimes to comfort you in time of need? Paul said it was this Philippian church. He said, "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you." Look at the past with a thankful heart. Look at the present with a hopeful heart. He says they were partakers. They stood by him. How and why did they stand by him? He says, "You stood with me when no one else would." He says, "You stood with me both in my imprisonment and in my defense and confirmation of the gospel." That word defense is the word we get for apologetics, to defend the faith. Paul said, "You stood by me as a church when nobody else would." They stood by him in his imprisonment and also his preaching of the gospel. There were people on that day who were saying that Paul's ministry was false. He wasn't preaching the truth. He wasn't preaching the gospel. They were out to accuse him. They were out to do him harm. He said, "You stood by me. You are partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel." Who are you standing for and who are you standing with today in the cause of the gospel of Christ? Who are you encouraging today? Are you an encourager? Are you a Barnabas to someone around you? Remember when Paul got saved in Acts chapter 9? They didn't believe him. They didn't believe him about his salvation, and nobody wanted anything to do with the Apostle Paul. That was his beginning days of ministry. And God sent a man named Barnabas along his side to encourage him and to validate him before what? The other men of Jerusalem. Are you an encourager today? Are you a Barnabas? Are you somebody that's an encourager, or are you somebody that's a discourager? How is your spiritual life today being a blessing to other people? Paul was present with a hopeful heart. Paul knew, even though I'm in chains, even though I'm in prison, I know that my God can do anything. Ephesians 3:20, "Now to him who was able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power that's within us." Do you see that verse, and do we understand the power of that verse? That verse says that all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power to work within us to accomplish more, infinitely more than we might ask or think. Where is our view of God today? How high is our view of the Lord? Sometimes we say, "Oh yeah, God can do anything." No. God can do anything. Amen. Where's the faith at? Where's the passion? Where's the belief system? How can a man be chained in a jail cell and he says, "I thank my God when I think about you, because you've always been with me. You've always stood by me. I love you." There's something about partnership. There's something about fellowship. It's easy to stand with those when things are great. But when times get tough, Paul found out who stood with him. He knew. And Paul said, "You have always been by my side, even in my imprisonment, even when they have been talking about me, saying I'm not preaching the gospel, I'm not preaching the truth. You know the truth." He says, "You are my family." And he says, "Look at the past with a thankful heart and look at the present with a hopeful heart. God can do anything. Look at everything from God's perspective and see what I'm going to do." Somebody once said that those who follow the crowd usually get lost in it. Those who usually follow the crowd get lost in it. What are you doing? What am I doing today? How are we finding Christ in our circumstances? Number three, look to the future with a prayerful heart. Look to the future with a
prayerful heart. He says in verses 9 through 11, "It is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus to the glory and the praise of God." Paul says, when you find yourself in a very tough circumstances, look to the past with a thankful heart. Look at the present situation with a hopeful heart. Have confidence in God. And number three, look to the future with a prayerful heart. He says, grow in love, verse 9, and grow in knowledge. And that word knowledge is the word for a spiritual study. It's the word we get from 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved. The Awana verse. Any Awana people here this morning? This is your Awana verse. He says, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, and who correctly explains the word of truth. He says that you and I must look to the future with a prayerful heart, having confidence in God's sovereignty, to be pure, to pursue excellence, for the day of Christ is coming. You and I can look at the past with misgiving, or we can look at the past with thanksgiving. We can look at the present with cowardice or confidence. We can look to the future with apprehension or with prayer. We can rely on our strength, or we can rely on the strength of the Lord. We must endure. We must persevere. Paul says here, I thank my God. He says, I have you in my mind, I have you in my heart, and I have you in my prayers. Paul loved this Philippian church. 10 years later, they were still partners with him in ministry. They were a giving church. You are a giving church. You are a generous church. You are a church that's a joy to pastor. You love the Lord and you're seeking to know His will. You are a joy to pastor. And so often I meet other church planters and other pastors and they don't love what they're doing. They're down and they're discouraged. And it's such a joy for me to be able to come back home and to see you and to lead and preach to you, because you are a giving church. You're a generous church. You love the Lord. You're a praying people. And Paul had this joy about him because of the Philippian church, that no matter what he was going through, he thought about this church. He says, I love you. I want you to grow. I want you to walk with God. I want you to know His will. I want you to persevere. What God began, He will complete. Consider this the next time you think about giving up, and I'll close. There was a man whose life was characterized by failure. At the age of 22, his business failed. At the age of 23, he ran for legislature but was defeated. So he turned to another business, which failed when he was 24 years of age. At 25, things started to turn around when he was elected to legislature, but at 26, his love died. He had a nervous breakdown at the age of 27 and was defeated in his run for speaker at age 29. He was defeated at age 31 when he ran for elector. He lost in his run for Congress at 34, but then he managed to win at 37. He was defeated in his reelection for Congress at age 39. He was defeated in his run for the Senate at age 46. He was defeated in his run for vice president at 47, and he was defeated for his run at Senate at age 49. This man was stubborn as a mule, but not a winning mule. He was defeated over and over and over again until the age of 51, he would become the president of the United States. In fact, he would become one of the greatest presidents in our country's history. His name is Abraham Lincoln. He endured through the hardships, the trials, the defeats, the rejections, and the failures until one day he became our commander-in-chief. That is the power of perseverance. Paul found himself in a very difficult situation in a jail cell, chained to somebody. He said, you can look at everything from God's point of view or your own point of view. You can see things from God's perspective or your own. But joy comes from looking to Christ.
How do we make memories? How do you and I make memories? We're going to make memories. But how do we make them biblically? How do we look to God in these moments? We look at the past with a thankful heart. Where has God wronged you? Where has God ever let you down? He has not. He's always been there, has he not? He's always there. He's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. He will always be there. He will always be there. You can always count on the Lord to be by your side. Paul said at the end of 2 Timothy, he said, everybody's forsaken me, but the Lord is with me. Paul knew that feeling, and he loved the Lord, and that's all Paul needed. Look at the present with a hopeful heart. God can do anything that he wants. He can do it however and whenever he wants. That's the confidence that you and I can have in our Savior. And look to the future with a prayerful heart. Pray. How many soldiers have prayed in their darkest hour? You and I have to be people of prayer. Slick brochures, slick websites, fancy church buildings, those things are not going to win the day. You know what's going to happen for us to see our town, to see our nation? It's going to have to be the prayers of God's people. If my people will humble themselves and what? Pray. Prayer cannot be an afterthought. It has to be the first thing that we do. Our battle is won on our knees. Paul knew that. I can just imagine the Apostle Paul in that jail cell thinking about this church. He says, you guys have always been there. Look how God is. He's awesome. He will always be there. You and I must look to God with confidence. We must see Christ in our circumstances. We must see these memories. Look back and think about the faithfulness of God and see Christ and see where we're going. Get on your knees. Humble yourself. Call upon the name of the Lord for wisdom. Grow in love. Grow in wisdom. Study the word. Obey the word. Pursue Christ in every circumstance. And that's how we begin this book. It's pretty amazing. Paul's not in a hotel. He's not on a cruise ship. He's in a dungeon. He's just been beaten. He's probably in pain. Not many friends to hang out with. Pretty lonely. But he had the Lord. You and I have to get to the point. We have to get to the point to where he's enough for us. It's got to be more than a song or a sermon or a book we read. He has to be enough for us. If everything else is stripped, you have the Lord, that is enough. We have to get there. As we close, as we pray this morning, I'm going to ask you to right there in your seat to examine your heart, to examine your joy, to examine your circumstance and find Christ in that circumstance. He is with you. If you're his child, he is with you. Let him comfort you. Let him encourage you. Let him shape you. Let him guide you. Let him convict you. Let him make you more like him. Trust him. God knows what he's doing. Trust him. Let's pray together. Father, as we sing this song, as we come to a close, may our freedom not be in vain. May we look at it from your perspective. May we have a thankful heart. May we have a hopeful heart. May we have a prayerful heart today and see all of our circumstances, Christ, that you can be glorified in them if we'll turn to you, if we'll give them to you. As we sing today, we sing to you. If there's anybody here who doesn't know Jesus Christ as his or her Savior, Father, I pray that they will understand that freedom is not really free. There is a price to be paid. Just as a soldier has to pay a price for the freedom that we have, Jesus, the Son of God, paid a price for our sin on the cross. He died so that we may live forever. If there's anybody here today who doesn't know Christ as Savior, Lord, I pray that they would repent of their sin. They would turn from their sin. They would put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone to save them. Not religion, not being a good person, but Christ. And those of us who are here who are believers, may you convict our hearts. May you show us areas in our life that don't please you. May we repent of those and ask for forgiveness and seek you and you alone in all circumstances. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.